Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben back in the saddle again after about a week of absence. March 18th, 2005. Here in Greenville, South Carolina. We've got partly cloudy skies today. High going to get up to about 58 degrees in Greenville. It's only 38 degrees outside, so a little bit chilly this morning. Once again, time for a light coat on your way out the door as you head off for your work morning. It's great to be back here on the Tyranny Response Network and doing the show again, Christian Worldview. Hope you enjoyed all our guest hosts for the last week. We've had some good ones, I know, with Pastor Tony Romo, with Roy Magnuson, as well as Ben Graydon, and I'm sure they served well the Tyranny Response Network, and so glad that we're able to find good substitute or guest host for the show to carry on the good work of the Tyranny Response Network. Well, Christian Worldview is a special show, as you know. Christian Worldview is designed to help you think better as a Christian about some deep issues of the day, about some important issues of the day. We're going to be doing exactly that today, as usual, and we're also going to be trying to bring you some candid information, theoretical information, if you would call it that, about topics that are truly important for Christians who love liberty. It's so infrequent today that we find Christians really dealing with some of these central issues, such as how do we deal with a wicked, degenerate state? Do we just rise up against it? Do we stand firm and hold our ground? What do we do with states which are run amok, like the one we have currently? I've got a series of articles I'm going to be publishing in the Times Examiner in my weekly column. It'll also probably go down to Free Market News and other places my articles are published, dealing with the whole topic of Christian views on rebellion. It's going to be a 7-part series, and I encourage you to pick up the Times Examiner next week and thereafter and begin reading those articles. All of them will be archived on my website, which is policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. And start thinking about this issue of when and where and how and under what circumstances should Christians rebel or disobey the state. Remember, rebellion and disobedience are just the same side of the, or flip sides of the same coin. If you're a tyrant or a government, you're going to call someone who disobeys a rebel or rebellious. And if you are a patriot and somebody who holds liberty over against the tyranny of the state, then you're going to be called someone who just does civil disobedience. You're going to think of yourself as just disobeying the civil authority, but obeying God instead. Well, at any rate, the whole idea of Christians in rebellion is a complex topic. I don't claim to have all the answers on the issue, but I try to make a good stab at it and help us think about the issue more starkly, more plainly than perhaps other people do. So we have an opportunity, perhaps, for our listenership to improve their and hone their thinking skills with respect to how we deal with problems in civil government, how we respond to public policy. Were the founding fathers right, or were they wrong? That's the big question I'm going to be dealing with in my article series, among other things. Were they in sin when they went their way? One preacher I spoke to basically told me, I heard from the pulpit him say, if you rebel against the government, you've rebelled against God. And rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. It's a serious thing. So, was he right? Well, if he is right, then the American founders were clearly in sin. When I inquired with him about this, he said, well, God works through the sinful actions of men to bring about his purposes. Well, of course, we believe that. Every one of us believes that God in spite of men's sin, works through sinful actions of men to bring about his purposes. But the question, it still really begs the question, were they really in sin when they founded this great nation of America? We don't say the ends justify the means, because it's clear that God has blessed this nation far beyond any other nation in the history of the world that we know of. If we look at just the political boundaries of the United States, I wouldn't say that would be a conclusive justification that the American founders were right. But we can, I guess, point to that as some anecdotal evidence that, look, you know, God really brought a lot of blessing here. Of course, they're going to just come back, this pastor or preacher would just come back and say, well, God just magnified his grace by showing his blessing to all the world and to America by bringing in such great blessing on such a sinful act as the American Revolution or the American War of Independence. Deep question, folks, and this is the thing we'll be covering in the article series. I know we'll be having some comments and questions about this on the radio show as well. Please do pick up a copy of the Times Examiner magazine. You can give Bob Dill or Laverle a call at 268-0676. Let me read that number to you again. That's 268-0576. That's the Times Examiner, and the 864 area code 268-0576. Ask for Bob or Laverle when you call. Ask them to get you a subscription, which has a yearly fee until April 1st of just $20 a year in-state and $22 a year out-of-state. That's cheap, folks. That's really inexpensive for getting great columnists every week, like Walter Williams, Joe Sobran, Charlie Reese, and Thomas Sowell, Phyllis Schlafly, even others like Pat Buchanan. Very interesting columnist. Yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, Dr. John Coben, that will be in there. As well as we're seeing a lot of articles from a good friend, Dr. Stephen Yates. And in fact, today, if we have time, we're going to go ahead and read his latest column on the air, at least a good chunk of it. More money will not reform the government schools, he says, in this this latest edition of the Times Examiner. Sure, looking forward to discussing that on the air. So call the Times Examiner, 864-268-0576, or drop by 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville and pick up your own copy of the Times Examiner. Start getting informed on some of these issues and improve your own response to public policy and your own thinking about the state, the nature of the state, and the Christian's duty to the state. So certainly encourage you to do that. Well, during my trip, I had a tremendous opportunity to do some reading, which I really like on the plane. The plane rides for me are not always fun because I always feel very crunched inside those coach seats because I don't ever travel. I get to travel first class. We have to go with the cheap tickets or the cheaper tickets on the flight. But I do get to read a fair amount, and I was able to finish off this book by Bruce N. Short called The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, which I have been reading for a number of weeks, as you know, and as I've talked about on the air. All I can say is this is one of the best books I have read as far as providing information concisely and thoroughly about this institution of the government school. His conclusion is exactly the same as mine, the Tyranny Response Unit. Get your kids out of the public school. In fact, the only thing I read that I disagreed with in this book was his willingness to tell teachers and the public school or administrators to go ahead and try to stick it out as best you can. For my part, it's completely wrong for anyone to be involved with the public school unless they have a special calling from God and a purpose that's somewhat revolutionary to overthrow, undermine, and destroy the public school by being employed by it. And if that's the case, I recommend that people who do so not even take a paycheck from the evil institution to show that, you know, keep a good conscience and to show their own purity in the endeavor. Bruce Short apparently doesn't go quite that far. He also seems to have some greater flexibility with allowing Catholics a part in the Christian community, which and the Church of Christ and some Seventh-day Adventists, which I wouldn't be able to do personally just because I don't see that there are Orthodox in upholding the great doctrines of the faith, the fundamentals of the faith. But other than that, and he doesn't come out blatantly and say that, by the way. It's just that in some lists in his book, it's not real clear that he takes a stand against those institutions. And maybe he did that just to be sort of eclectic on a single issue. I don't know. Great book, otherwise, just a tremendous piece of work in destroying and dismantling the mindset that the public school is okay. It goes through every excuse that people bring up about the public school or the government school and why they need to have their kids there, and just dismantles it. Anyway, we're coming up on a break here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in a second.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And here's a little extra roughage. One of my research staff sent me a quotation from Martin Luther, the great reformer. He says, "If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing at Christ. Wherever the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all the battlefield besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that one point." It's Martin Luther. I also wanted to make a quick plug for the Southern History Conference coming up. We're going to have speakers including John Weaver, Pastor John Weaver, great Theonomist Baptist, who would be supportive of what we do here at the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview, and for the most part, appreciate his work. And if you've ever listened to John Weaver, you know it's just a tremendous history lesson that he brings to you regarding understanding the American Revolution, regarding the war between the states, and other aspects of Southern history. Dr. John Piper, who is the president of Greenville Theological Seminary, another excellent scholar. Pastor Carl Robbins, who is the pastor here in the Greenville area of one of the most conservative Presbyterian church in America, congregation in the United States, one of them. I hear that most of the conservative PCAs are here in South Carolina in the upstate or in Mississippi, and he has certainly led the charge in defending the cardinal doctrines of the truth. Former stated clerk of the PCA, Presbyterian Church in America. Dr. Morton H. Smith will also be there, as well as Dr. Nick Wilborn. There is the Southern History Conference is April 4th through 7th, 2005. If you plan to attend or you want to have some more information about the Southern History Conference, please go to the webpage policyofliberty.net and scroll down to the link where it says you can send an email to the production staff. Go ahead and send an email to them, and they will be happy to send you a flyer. Just ask for the flyer regarding the Southern History Conference, April 4th through 7th, 2005, to hear John Weaver, John Piper, Carl Robbins, and others present just a tremendous, what's going to be certainly a tremendous conference about Southern history. So appreciate that announcement coming through. If you do have announcements or public service announcements for conferences related to things that TRN would be interested in, or a group that supports TRN, such as a local Constitution Party, a Libertarian Party, please let us know about your event so that we can announce them on the air. If Christian Exodus, any of these kinds of groups have something that needs to be put out, Sons of Confederate Veterans. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head a few people that would really benefit from having us announce it on the air. Please let us know. Send your emails to questions@policyofliberty.net and simply earmark them at the top, announcement or a public service announcement from whoever it might be, Sons of Confederate Veterans, Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, etc. And we'll do our best to announce that thing for you. At any rate, we have also a couple of other emails that came in, or commentaries on things from our research staff. And one of the things that really I thought was great while I was gone, I just got to go back and read it, is Chuck Baldwin's March 11th Food for Thought. If you haven't heard it, I'm going to reiterate it right now. Chuck Baldwin is, of course, the former vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party, a lawyer, and we won't hold that against him. I understand he's a lawyer at any rate, and just does a tremendous job of getting it right. And he says this: "It is time to ask some hard questions about the preponderance of leaders and organizations commonly identified as the religious right. Are they gullible, naive, or willingly ignorant?" Sounds something similar to what the tyranny response unit has said. "How can anyone who truly believes that unborn babies deserve the right to life continue to support President George W. Bush? His track record on the life issue screams betrayal. Let's get real. On the subject of protecting the lives of unborn babies, Bush is just so much hot air. American Life League President Judy Brown, columnist Thomas Drolesky, Howard Phillips, CovenantNews.com host Jim Rudd, and many others have provided the American people with incontrovertible documentation regarding George Bush's dismally pathetic record on the life issue. They chronicled acts including, let me scroll down here, practically everyone in Bush's cabinet is pro-abortion. Bush is the first president to authorize stem cell research. In fact, his appointee to directorship of the National Institute of Health, Dr. Elias Zerhouni, is a pioneer in embryonic stem cell research. President Bush even blocked a vote on a congressional amendment that would have banned the patenting of human embryos. President Bush has done nothing to remove abortifacients, such as RU486, from the shelves. He even supported the National Organization for Women in their racketeering suit against Joe Schneider and the other pro-life advocates. President Bush has approved millions of taxpayer dollars in funding for Planned Parenthood. He has authorized federal funding for abortion providers overseas to levels even higher than those authorized by Bill Clinton." Wow. "Speaking of overseas funding of abortion, President Bush's $15 billion AIDS package provides payments to organizations that provide abortions, including the International Planned Parenthood Federation. President Bush even admitted his opposition to overturning Roe v. Wade by stating emphatically, 'There will be abortions, that's a reality.' Of course, the president's wife, Laura, has also publicly said she is opposed to overturning Roe v. Wade. President Bush has repeatedly said that he has no litmus test on the life issue when it comes to appointing federal judges. Why does the religious right claim he intends to do something as he has plainly and repeatedly denied? Again, they are gullible, naive, or willingly ignorant. Beyond that, how far will the religious right go in their compromise or surrender on the life issue? Indications are there is practically no limit to their sellout. We are already hearing leaders of the religious right say they will support the Republican presidential nominee in 2008, even if that nominee is openly pro-abortion. Such talk is obviously an attempt to begin calming potential concerns among the pro-life conservatives, and if and when Republican Party nominates a pro-abortion presidential candidate, which appears very likely to happen. For example, a recent national gathering of Republicans voted Rudy Giuliani and Condi Rice as the top two choices to lead the GOP ticket in 2008. Of course, both Giuliani and Rice are pro-abortion. It will be more than interesting to listen to leaders of the religious right postulate on how a pro-abortion Democrat is evil, but a pro-abortion Republican is righteous. Again, is the religious right gullible, naive, or willingly ignorant? Perhaps disgusting as a more appropriate word to describe the behavior of the religious right. In order to keep its most favored special interest group status, it has compromised and capitulated just to every cardinal principle, including the life issue. As a result, Republican presidents and Congresses will continue to come and go. The religious right will continue to bask in the warm glow of Republican acceptance, and millions of preborn babies will continue to have their bodies torn apart by the abortionist scalpel. Do not fear, however, at least a Democrat is not in the White House. Obviously, that matters little to the more than 4 million unborn babies who have been slaughtered in the wombs of their mothers since George W. Bush became president. And my guess, it's a lot more than that. We're talking closer to 6 million. What does that matter? Of course, that the religious right is happy to embrace the Republican presidential candidate, his or her commitment to the unborn notwithstanding. Is the religious right gullible, naive, or willingly ignorant? It really doesn't matter. Whatever the motive or whatever the cause, the religious right has ceased to be a credible proponent of protecting the lives of unborn children, which leads to the greater question, who will pick up the mantle as the voice for the unborn? Well, we will here at the Tyranny Response Network, as well as all pro-life libertarians and constitutionalists. If you're not part of the Constitution Party or the pro-life wing of the Libertarian Party, we would encourage you to check out the other alternatives out there than just going with the status quo of the Republican Party, which is obviously hurting pretty badly with respect to the life issue. Folks, it's time to pull out of that party and stop supporting it on pragmatic grounds. We are not gaining anything by being involved with Republicans, especially those like George W. Bush. We've come up on a break here for the Christian Worldview program with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction, the same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And from the sounds of it this morning, we need to hurl the Republican Party aside with great force, since they are just so much in favor of abortion, apparently, or so unconcerned about the issue. Promoting pro-abortion cabinet members and even the party platform might include pro-abortionists next time. Overtly pro-abortionists. I can't see that George W. Bush is much of a pro-life candidate, to be honest with you. But at any rate, enough Republican bashing for this particular minute aside. We have Nelson calling in this morning. We really appreciate you calling into the show, Nelson, and welcome.
Thank you, Doctor. Good to hear your voice. Enjoyed the filler ends you had in the meantime. Did you have a good trip?
We did. It was very refreshing, and couldn't have been well. There wasn't much that could have made it much better. It was just a great time.
Wonderful. I want to commend you for hammering on the Republicans as you do, and their total uselessness where the so-called abortion issue is concerned. One of my favorite ways of getting right to the point with people who refuse to see the light is to ask them, when was the last time any Republican president actually did something to stop the war on the unborn?
It's a very good question. Yeah, and when is the last time?
I understand that the present president doesn't even attend the big pro-life rally on the Capitol Mall every January. He calls in a message on the phone. Isn't that nice of him?
Yeah, it really is. It doesn't have to show his face while he's grimacing or really pointing the finger and making fun of all the gullible religious writers out there. And maybe he can still get their votes if he makes a phone call. You know, I was thinking about which president issued. I think Lincoln probably did a lot to stop abortions. I mean, by slaughtering off, 600,000 people or so, certainly prevented a lot of births or pregnancies, I should say, that would have happened. So he really did stop. Yeah, he stopped a lot of abortions by just stopping a lot of people from marrying, growing up and instead just dying prematurely. And so I guess, you could call Lincoln maybe the last good pro-life president.
Yeah, well, he would have been a good Democrat, too, because he aborted people while they were still living, huh?
Yeah, that's true. And that is the next step. But you might, instead of just, we believe, of course, that people in the womb are still are alive and living, but you mean they're actually out breathing on their own?
Yeah, the others. Shall we say.
Yeah, that's right. Well, their whole goal is to eventually get down to government committees deciding who gets to live or die, whether the elderly, I should say, the incapacitated, the retarded, or the in some way handicapped. Those people could be killed at any time. There are already people in the philosophy departments who say, well, look, we need to go ahead and allow abortion of these so-called extra uterine fetuses, that is, children that are under, say, age 2 or under age 2.5. We can go ahead and kill those as well. People are already, at advocating that now. In large numbers of people, actually. So it fits in real well, and I think George Bush would go along with these kinds of things if he didn't lose too many votes from the gullible, wacky religious right unit.
I will carry his coattails till the end of time, no matter how bad it gets.
Yes.
On a more positive note, about the Constitution Party, always good to have them mentioned, to hear them mentioned. I'd like folks to know, if I may, that the latest issue of the First Freedom newspaper, I believe you've been published in it, has a full-page article by myself and Patrick Tyndall, our local candidate emeritus on the the Constitution Party ticket, and his adventures trying to spread the truth of tyranny response during his campaign in Simpsonville Park, which, as you probably know, has become something of a war zone in recent years.
Yes, especially this is where they attack the homeschoolers, isn't that right?
Yeah, and there's a lot more to it. I think readers will be very amused as well as informed to see this account, mostly by Patrick, of his frustration and his successes in spreading a pro-borders campaign message, among many other important issues. And if folks want to get the lowdown on this paper, they can simply go to their favorite search engine and search The First Freedom. And may I give my email address in case any TRN listeners would like a free sample copy from me personally?
By all means, go right ahead.
Okay, it's N as in Nelson, W-A-L-L-E-R, N Waller, one word, at earthlink.net. I like to make offers of extra special reading material available to extra special people, and I know that includes your entire audience.
Well, now, you're a regular...
Thanks for being there.
You're a regular, Nelson, you're
the rest of the show.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. You are a regular columnist, I think, for First Freedom, if I'm not mistaken, and so we appreciate that input. If you are interested in picking up a copy of that, go ahead and do send that email off to Nelson and get a copy of the First Freedom. Great, some great stuff written in the First Freedom, and yes, I have been published in that, in that as well. So thanks again for the call, Nelson, and look forward to chatting with you again on future editions of Christian Worldview. Well, we have here a couple of other interesting items from our research staff, which I wanted to bring up. They do relate to public schooling as well as other things. And we have, for instance, here's one that says, you can't fix stupid. Stupidity means you can't learn. Ignorance means you haven't. We talk about the epidemic of obesity and that it's and all that it is costing us in terms of illness and medical expenses. Obesity? That's small stuff compared to what the epidemic of ignorance is costing us. And while we're at it, government schools are to ignorance what fast food is to obesity. We know where it's coming from, yet we tolerate and support it. That was from talk show host Neil Bortz in Atlanta. That last line is great. And while we're at it, government schools are to ignorance what fast food is to obesity. We know where it's coming from, yet we tolerate and support it. Very well put. Appreciate that. Good comment. Well, we'll be back in a minute on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. The weather today in Greenville going to get up to a high of 58 degrees today with some partly cloudy skies. So it's going to be a little bit warmer than it has been in the last couple days, I understand. Even though I was out of town, I heard that it was almost snowing in Traveler's Rest. Maybe it was snowing in Traveler's Rest yesterday or the day before. It's going to have a low this morning of 38 in some places, around 40 probably. Now, where most folks are, so you want to bring a light coat with your sweater or something, because it's going to be a little bit cool this morning as you make your way out the door for work. Appreciate you tuning in to Christian Worldview this morning, and we do want to encourage your phone calls to 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You can also send your questions by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. Now, many of you are also listening to the recorded broadcast, and in fact, if you're not listening between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time, you are indeed listening to the recorded broadcast, and very glad that you're doing so. We have a number of folks on the West Coast who listen to our recorded broadcast on a regular basis, and we're glad that that way they can tune in that way. It's a little bit early on the West Coast to be up at 4:30 in the morning for most people to listen to Christian Worldview, but they can go to the website, which is www.policyofliberty.net, and scroll down till they find the link that says Today's Broadcast. And if they click on Today's Broadcast, obviously the current show will come up. The current show, the current day's show, is usually uploaded to the website and available for your listening pleasure anywhere in the world at around 10 o'clock Eastern Time, sometimes as late as 11 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time. And at any time during the day after that, you should be able to catch the show. So about West Coast time, 7:30 or 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, you're able to hear the current morning show that just occurred here on the East Coast in Greenville, South Carolina. And glad you do that. Also have links for the previous day's show and the day before that show. So there's three recorded broadcasts at all times on the internet page, policyofliberty.net. For those of you who have difficulty getting reception for the show, although we are upgrading our facilities as best a volunteer staff can possibly do, we have not completed that process, and until that is done, for many people, listening to the broadcast via the World Wide Web is the best solution. And once again, if you go to www.policyofliberty.net, you'll find an opportunity or a link there to click that says live in all caps. And if you it's not too far down the page, you click on that thing that says live, you will immediately launch your browser, or not browser, your media player, whatever you use to play audio files, and it will be able to play the Christian Worldview show live, streamed through the internet. And a lot of people do take advantage of that, and we'd appreciate you passing on the word to so that still others might be able to listen in their homes or offices to Christian Worldview. One other note about the recorded broadcast. We try to give a summary of contents of the recorded broadcast, and a lot of folks don't know this, but if you right-click, when your media player pops up after you click the recorded broadcast or today's broadcast link, your media player will pop up, and on the right-hand side, normally, it will show something that says, to the effect, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, or whatever the playlist decides to call it. If you right-click on that and then go to the Properties tab at the bottom, it will then give you a menu option or a dialog box, I guess it's called, with a tab on there that says Summary. And if you click the Summary or Content tab, it will pop up some text that shows what I've written down every day and what's included in the show for that day. So if we have something, a quotation from Neil Bortz, it'll be mentioned in there that that's in there. And you'll have more or less chronological order through the show, what's being talked about, what are the topics that are discussed on the show. So take advantage of that feature in your software if you happen to be listening to the recorded broadcast. So at any rate, support the Tyranny Response Network in any way you can. We still look forward to receiving your support financially. We thank you for your prayers. We also thank you for any of the help that you might be able to otherwise give us with materials or labor. We have many projects and things that are needed at the Tyranny Response Network to make it a better station and get the word out. Again, you can go to policyofliberty.net, scroll down to the production staff,
link, as well as some of the other links we're contributing. You'll see them there. Go ahead and click them and send an email off and find out, ask for some more information on how you can help. Well, occasionally on the show, we like to talk about this book that we have. Here in the studio, the production staff just is always amused by it. Unusually Stupid Americans by Catherine and Ross Petras. And on page 130 or 128, we have a couple of other stories which are just kind of funny. At any rate, it says 11-year-old faces the big house. An 11-year-old boy from Staten Island is looking at some jail time, or at least hefty fine, for ignoring a jury duty notice. No matter that he's got a number of years before he can legally serve on juries. That's too bad. If you ignore jury duty notices, you go to jail for a month or pay a $1,250 fine. His father says he has sent a copy of his son's birth certificate to the officials, but they say they haven't seen it, and they need proof. County Clerk Stephen J. Fiala isn't taking no for an answer. As soon as he gives me proof that his son is 11, I will remove him from the rolls. He adds, you can't just call me up and say you're 11 years old. The law mandates I be given proof. Okay. Another story. Elderly Cuban-American couple has home seized for holding poker games for friends and family. In 1999... a Miami couple had their $150,000 home seized by federal agents. Their crime? Holding weekly poker games on their patio for friends and families. They got their house back eventually after an appeals court ruled the penalty was a bit excessive. I didn't even know it was a crime to have a poker game for your friends and family. But apparently it is, at least in Miami, if you're an elderly Cuban-American couple. Another story. Woman handcuffed and arrested for video rental crime. It started with a routine traffic pullover by the New Hampshire cops for a broken taillight on Jesse Cohen's car. But during the license check, cops discovered that back in 1997, she had neglected to return a rented copy of the Woody Allen movie Sleeper. Cohen said she had no memory of having rented the video, nor did she remember receiving any overdue notices. No matter, she was handcuffed and charged with a misdemeanor on the unauthorized use of rental property. And, of course, her Cadillac was impounded. A group championing individual rights summed up Cohen's case best. You don't return a video in time and you get treated like Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs and end up starring in Girls in Prison. What sense does that make? Well, not a whole lot of sense, especially when justice is not being meted out as perhaps some of us think it should be or might be better be served. Instead, you've got these cops rounding up elderly Cubans, 11-year-old boys, and women who didn't return their movie on time. This is a tragedy. You also have traffic cops out there with enforcing these ridiculous speed limits. As far as I'm concerned, they're ridiculous anyway. Although I don't own the roads, and I agree if somebody owns the road, they should probably be able to set the rules for the road. But at any rate, I think 25% of all cops' salaries and budget and otherwise are funded by traffic tickets. This is really a traffic tax. Half of it comes from drug laws, this ridiculous phony war that the federal government wages against so-called drug abuse. Doesn't win it. Doesn't want to win it, apparently, just wants to milk it for all it's worth, violate people's rights in the meantime, and get lots of loot out the back door through these different methods of seizure. Sad but true, this is the way America, the American civil government has turned. You're listening, of course, to the Tyranny Response Network, and this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros, www.thetheatreofreason.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And here we are again, providing that great reference for your brain on the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I have a couple of emails that came in. One from Matthew regarding the PPIC, that's the Put Parents in Charge Act, which is this overblown neocon sort of activity. I want to go ahead and read that. Before I do, I'll just mention quickly, I talked about the Times Examiner earlier. My article this week is, "What is a Neoconservative?" If anybody have been wondering, I hear Dr. Coben throw around this term all the time, neocon, or neoconservative. I hear other people do the same thing. What is a neoconservative? Well, my wife had mentioned to me, you know, John, a lot of people don't know what a neoconservative is. Why don't you write a column on what exactly the thing is, what this beast is all about? And I've done so, and it's in this current issue of the Times Examiner. It's also on my webpage under the articles link at policyofliberty.net. But if you pick up your copy of the Times Examiner, you'll see a column there that says, "What is a neoconservative?" The long and the short of it is, a neoconservative is a liberal in conservative clothing. It's a person who admires both Franklin Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan. But you'll get all the gory details if you go ahead and read my current column this week in the Times Examiner or online at policyofliberty.net under the articles link. Well, at any rate, we have the neocon pushed for the Put Parents in Charge Act. The Put Parents in Charge Act, great debate a couple weeks ago, and we discussed with people who are in support of this bill. Ben Graydon, who was just on the show substituting for me yesterday and the day before, as well as Juliette Kosak, taking to task these people who are in support of this, and I think hands down winning the day and showing that this is truly true conservatives and libertarians should want nothing to do with PPIC as stated. Instead, should support what I call SCEFA, the South Carolina Educational Freedom Act, which is a true liberty-promoting, enhancing alternative. And some of you who are listeners, faithful listeners to TRN and otherwise, have been circulating my articles and emails and voice commentary. I have about a 12-minute voice track, which I've done, and it's, again, at policyofliberty.net on the homepage. If you want to hear my criticism of PPIC and my suggestion of the alternative, it's there on the homepage. Well, anyway, Matthew wrote me an email regarding his activities in promoting this SCEFA idea over and against the PPIC. He says, "Hi, John. I sure wish I had 48 hours in a day. I sent around your SCEFA piece to all sorts of homeschool loops, and it's generating lots of action." Good to hear, and I appreciate that effort, Matthew. He says, "I'm forwarding this one from someone named Tracy, and they're very much wanting not only PPIC, but also the equal access for homeschoolers to public school stuff, which he says I'm very much opposed to. So this is a group that wants PPIC, but also wants to have homeschoolers have rights to have access to public school activities and facilities. Again, this is a sign to me of a true neocon." But at any rate, not knowing exactly, she could just be confused, could be, not wanting to put down Tracy, don't know who she is in any way, just want to suggest that I think she's greatly in error when she comes up with this mixture of public schools or government schools with homeschooling activities and principles.
At any rate, I was trying to be a conduit to get your information in the hands of the right people. And appreciate you doing that. He says, thanks. And that is from Matthew. Well, here's Tracy's letter. She says, I wanted to respond to Matthew's comments regarding PPIC to our TCHE membership. He did not list his reasons for not supporting PPIC. I can attest that it is often easy to come up with an alternative bill and add in specific desires. However, I would just caution that people who have worked on PPIC have spent countless hours drafting the bill, obtaining legal consultation. Well, I'll tell you what, Tracy and Matthew, you need to send Tracy my first article, which I list very clearly the reasons why we do not want to support PPIC. There's no question about the bill's socialism, that it's in support of government schools. It's there to help government schools, and it's giving this ruse of somehow granting parents control of things, which they don't already not have. They already have control. We don't need PPIC to give us further control. And I go into more specifics in the article. And that article, by the way, is at policyofliberty.net. At any rate, and it doesn't really matter to me that there are just, you know, so many countless of hours spent on drafting PPIC. I'm sure that's true. But if the document's bad, if the bill is bogus, it doesn't really matter how much time people have spent on the bad project. It needs to be rejected. And so it really, you know, I appreciate, again, all their hard work and effort in doing something and the bad bill and getting the bad legal advice, but it needs to be completely rejected by true conservatives and libertarians. Anyway, she continues, I'll back up a minute, worked on PPIC, has spent countless hours drafting the bill, obtaining legal consultation, and watching over the wording like hawks to try to ensure that homeschoolers are protected from intrusion. Well, if that's the best you can do, Tracy, you need to just give up now, because it's not protecting homeschoolers from intrusion. But included the benefits. No, this is not true. Anyway, it's not a good deal. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying from my own experience on working for about 3 years on the homeschool access bill is please give some great consideration to the folks who have invested a tremendous amount of time on the PPIC bill and realize that the process for getting a new bill filed, reviewed, and ultimately passed is a long and difficult one. One final note, the public school system is adamantly opposed to PPIC and are releasing some inaccurate information. Two quick examples, they call it a voucher program, which is clearly not. It is a tax credit. They repeatedly state their written statements that homeschoolers and non-accredited private schools have no accountability and do not have to meet the same standards as public school students. We have accountability, and why would we want the same standards when our kids consistently outachieve theirs on nationally standardized tests, including the SAT. This is a red herring. This is not what it's all about here, folks. It is clearly not a voucher program. It is a tax credit. She's right about that. But it doesn't matter. That's the carrot. You need to look at the stick in PPIC, and that's why I've shown in my own writings an article about PPIC and in the debate that PPIC is bad. It promotes bad things. It's a bad bill. We need to reject it out of hand. And it doesn't really matter to me how much time they've spent on this. I feel sorry for you that you spent so much time, Tracy and others, in preparing this bad bill. Need to get back on track with a truly conservative, true conservative, liberty-loving, or libertarian perspective in which these foibles are cast aside and all these bad ideas and ideologies are thrust away that we would be forced upon us through the PPIC. We'll be back in just a minute on Christian Worldview. We're going to a quick break.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And since we're talking about public schooling, again, the government school project, through things like PPIC, I'm going to go ahead and read at least a piece of Dr. Stephen Yates' article in this week's Times Examiner. More money will not reform government schools, he says. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates recently threw down the gauntlet on government high schools, speaking at a National Government Association meeting devoted to high school education. Gates called public high schools obsolete and stated that elected officials should be ashamed of schools that fail utterly to prepare millions of students for college and technical jobs. Gates Foundation has contributed about $1 billion in an effort to improve public education. When the students don't learn, he said, the school must change. Every state needs a strong intervention strategy to improve struggling schools, but is one of America's richest men missing the boat? And he argues that, yes, indeed he is. Throwing more money at the public school is not going to help it. It will not make it any better at all than it currently is. Now, Dr. Bruce Short, in his book, does just a tremendous job in his critique of the public school, I think. And again, it too is worth reading something about this money issue. In fact, page 242 of the book and 243 talk about the Kansas City case where more money was thrown at them and how much it did not help them out. I'm going to just give one more huge plug for this book. This is one of the best books I've ever had the opportunity to read in discussing the public school issue as policy from a Christian worldview perspective, showing why the public school is addicted to immorality, was founded on the basis of secular humanist and cultural Marxian or Marxist principles, and why the agendas of the far left are being pushed, why the anti-capitalist forces of the NEA, which is aligned with a lot of hard left groups, is being fomented and fostered through the public school, why there is no chance for the thing to ever be redeemed or changed, and why Christians need to get out as soon as possible, any children that are there, because they are losing the battle. There is no such thing as the 9-year-olds and 11-year-olds being salt and light in a school, which is clearly winning the day when the hearts and minds of children that are put there. It's a very effective institution, a tool of Satan, a tool that is used for the anti-liberty forces of the world to make a little status out of people here in America. Well, anyway, Dr. Short says this about throwing more money at the public school to possibly improve it. He says, Kansas City schools did change dramatically as a result of the spending mandate mandated by Judge Clark. And I should back up for a minute. The Judge Clark mandate was a 1985 federal district judge. Russell G. Clark seized control of the Kansas City school district to implement a school desegregation plan. And I'm coming back to where we were before. On page 242, Kansas City schools did change dramatically as a result of the spending mandated by Judge Clark. Here are some of the things that the $2 billion bought. Per pupil spending rose to $11,700, the highest in the nation on a cost of living adjusted basis for any major school district in the nation. The student-teacher ratio fell to 13-1, the lowest for any major school district in the nation. Teachers' pay was increased 40% across the board, and their workloads were cut. Students were given field trips to Mexico and Senegal. A model United Nations facility was built that included simultaneous translation capabilities. 15 new schools were built. Amenities included an Olympic-sized swimming pool with underwater viewing room, a zoo, a 25-acre wildlife sanctuary,
television and animation studios, and a robotics studio. Teachers from Belgium, Cameroon, Puerto Rico, Argentina, and Germany were recruited to provide foreign language immersion programs for students in kindergarten through fifth grade. Computer magnet elementary schools were equipped with one personal computer for every two students. So, $2 billion bought a lot of perks, salaries, and stuff. But what did it do for the school district's performance? Are you embarrassed because you find yourself cynically thinking that the answer is nothing? If so, relax. You are, in fact, a wild-eyed optimist. The results are worse than that. Here they are. The dropout rate went up. The Missouri Board of Education stripped the school district of its accreditation in May 2000 for failure to meet even one of 11 performance goals. The school district hemorrhaged students to charter schools, leaving the school district in a financial crisis with overstaffed programs and half-empty buildings. The educational performance of black students did not improve, and the three-grade level achievement gap between black and white students didn't improve. Kansas City Superintendent Bernard Taylor Jr. was so desperate to raise standardized test scores that he proposed paying students to improve their test scores. Maybe they just need more money, says Short. Great evidence. I mean, it's somewhat anecdotal, I realize, but folks, putting money at the public, throwing more money at the public school is not making it better. It just gives more perks to people that are involved with it. You can't transform with money something that's inherently bad on its face, which is indeed part of the problem with the public school. We're going to jump to a quick break here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Cove. When we come back, we might read a little bit more from Short's book.
You're listening to TRN.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Hey And we do welcome you back again to Christian Worldview. In Greenville, it's currently 38 degrees outside, going to rise up to 58 degrees, and now the weather forecast tells us it's not going to be partly cloudy, but instead we're going to have sunny, clear skies today. So if you're just getting on your way to work, make sure you grab a coat or a sweater on your way out. A little bit cool this morning, and it's not going to be extremely warm during the day. It's a little bit warmer in the last couple days, but still a little bit on the chilly side. Looks like we're not going to get right back into Bruce Short's book because we have Bob on the line, and we'd like to welcome you, Bob, to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Thank you very much. By the way, I'd like to say that Internet radio is a great idea. It gives us a chance to listen to some really decent opinions and concepts out there rather than the stuff that's coming off of the airwaves most of the time. I wanted to talk, you know, you were talking about the brainwashing that's going on in the public schools, and yes, we know there's plenty of that, but I don't think that that's going to ever change unless you get past the core of the problem, and that is the fact that the general media, radio, television, newspapers, are completely controlled by the government. Now, I can prove that. It's not something that I just want to put out there and, you know, in a blurb, but when the total information is so controlled as it is, then you're never going to be able to change something that is a subset of the original problem, and that is the mind control that's going on through the schools. Take, for example, 9/11. The plane that was brought down in Pennsylvania, one of the engines landed several miles off of where the actual fuselage hit. Now, it happened to be from Pennsylvania, and I know the area. When that, the simple laws of physics do not permit that a motor, that the engine would jump or bounce or whatever several miles away from the fuselage. Due to the fact that you had basically two landing sites or two crash sites, that indicates only one thing, that a heat-seeking missile hit that engine and caused it to rip apart from the wing, and that's the reason why it landed several miles away from the fuselage. Now, the people in Pennsylvania know this. Other people have seen planes in the area. As a matter of fact, it's on the Internet. It's not a secret. One time, one of the, I think it was maybe the Secretary of State, actually made reference to the fact that the plane was shot down, and then the media immediately said, well, it was just a slip of the tongue. What happened? Now, the fact that the plane was shot down is not, I mean, okay, it was something that had to have been done. But here's the real scary part. Not one radio, newspaper or television or anything ever mentions the fact that this plane was shot down. They want us to believe that people were able to bring this thing down with box cutters. I don't know how stupid they think that we are, but nobody wants the fact that all of the media is so absolutely controlled that not one of them would mention the fact is a serious indicator of just where our country lies today.
All right, now, Bob, I've been listening to all this, and I'm curious why. Now, and I don't know about what the information you're telling me, and I'm not saying it's incorrect. I'm learning here as you're speaking this to me. I'm interested in knowing more. But what motivation do they have for denying that there was a heat-seeking missile used? And second question is, how would a heat-seeking missile sever the engine that's so firmly attached to a wing without damaging the wing, knock it a few miles away from where the plane eventually lands? Because if the plane loses its wing, it goes straight down. It doesn't glide. And so how is it that a heat-seeking missile could have severed the engine and then allowed the plane still to glide and land miles away? And what is the point? Why does government want to cover this up?
Well, very good questions both. And all of the information that you're asking is on the Internet that anybody can look up. You don't have to take my word for it. I would surmise, without being an engineer myself.
I'm not doubting. I just want to know if you have a, if you know for us, so you can tell the listening audience, not just direct them to the web. Do you know the answer to those things? Why they would do this, and how the engine could be severed without the, you know, destroying the plane?
Yes, I can make a summation here. Summation. That's a good word. I think I just made that up. When the engine itself sits below the wing, so if it's hit from the side, it could be ripped off. As a matter of fact, planes in the past have lost their engines. They just come loose and have fallen. Big doors have fallen off, and the plane's not wrecked. I mean, you know, it could happen. I can't tell you with any certainty exactly why it happened or what happened. All I know is that there was two landing sites, there were two crash sites several miles from each other. And, you know, it's, you don't have to take my word for it. This is something that's plainly available. It was actually even on the news that there was two separate crash sites.
Well, I just think a lot of listeners like me are just going to be thinking, well, how does that work? You got a heat-seeking missile, which obviously has an explosive at the end. It hits just the engine, blows it off, but doesn't affect the wing, and therefore the plane is still able to glide. Just seems, I'm not saying it's wrong what you're saying. I want to know how that works. That was my question. And the other question is, what's the advantage to the government to make up this lie? And I'm not saying that, and I know government makes up lies. I have no reason to doubt what you're saying about them lying to us through the media or even controlling the media. But why? What advantage is there for them to do so? Is my question.
Well, that one's pretty easy, and I can answer that one. Why would anybody want to make the lives of those people left on the ground, of all those people who got killed on the plane, at work? Why would we want to tell anybody that it was the United States government or the United States itself that had to bring down this plane? This is going to be a hard thing, and it would be better if it wasn't talked about. The fact that the government or the United States brought down a private commercial plane because it was going to wreck into the Capitol, it was a difficult call, and somebody had to make it. The fact that they were able to is what I was addressing. The fact that they were able to so control it, that's the only thing that I'm addressing. Whether they did the right thing or not, well, I don't think I would want to hurt the people out there that have lost loved ones on this plane any more than people in the government would. Mm-hmm. They went through a lot of turmoil all on themselves. And then if you add to that the fact that it was their country that actually brought the plane down and not the terrorists, well, you can see why they would want to do it. And I think it was probably a worthwhile call. But the fact is, the fact is that they were able to do it. That's the part that's scary, that they were so able to control the medias that they could bring this off.
Well, very interesting. Hey, Bob, that's a very interesting call. We're going to have to cut this short for now because we're just coming up against a great break. But I really appreciate your phone call. In fact, if you find out more about this and have some other details, I would appreciate you calling back into the Christian Worldview to share some more things. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to a break now. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
For anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros. That's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
We'd like to welcome you back to Christian Worldview, and thank again, Bob, for calling with that interesting information about the distortions in the media about what actually happened during 9-1-1. Again, not something I'm very familiar with, but always eager to learn and listen. So if you have some interesting information about these sorts of things, by all means, give us a call here at Christian Worldview, and we can discuss them, especially if you can bring them down to how the Christian worldview is being distorted by the media, and especially if you have some facts in hand and how it can speak with some expertise on a particular topic. We do very much appreciate hearing from you. Well, I have an email from Corey Burnell, who's head of Christian Exodus. This is the group of very libertarian or constitutional-minded people who are moving to South Carolina. Going to be a couple thousand folks showing up here looking for jobs and becoming politically active. Happy that they're doing so, and we're here to support you, of course, with the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview. And he writes in and says, "Hi, John, I heard one of your callers bring up the subjects of rights today, and it reminded me of a story you can share on the air. I was in Dublin, Ireland, exactly a year ago, and there was an election of some sort taking place. I saw a campaign banner hanging on the side of a building that read, 'Housing is a right.' Well, that's where the Irish are these days. They think that people have a right to products and services that have historically been purchased by consumers. In effect, they believe that a person has the right to tax his next-door neighbor to buy goods and services for himself. This should sound familiar because it's exactly what Americans believe, too. It's what we've been doing ever since the Lincoln administration. One of the problems today is that Americans no longer distinguish between rights and privileges. So at Christian Exodus, we have addressed this issue on our website, which is www.christianexodus.org. Here is what we have to say about rights and privileges. Christian Exodus believes government exists to protect the rights and property of its citizens. Rights are granted by God and may not be taken away by government. However, government may establish and regulate privileges. There is tremendous confusion today about the difference in rights and privileges. A simple distinction can be made by asking oneself the question, is what I see guaranteed to me by my Creator? Some examples of rights include life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, defense of private property, self-defense or bearing arms, religious belief, etc. Some examples of privileges, often misinterpreted as rights, include public education, health care, public housing, public transportation, voting, etc. I hope this adds to the discussion on the subject. I thought it is such an important topic that I had to write to you about it, Corey." And I do appreciate, Corey, you're bringing that up to our attention. There is a tremendous difference between rights and privileges in public policy. And again, rights would be things we would hold antecedent to the state before the creation of the civil government. And governments, in fact, would be instituted as our collective way to protect our rights of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the other things you'd mentioned. Whereas privileges are something entirely different. They are grants of benefit from the state to which there is a corresponding or reciprocal duty which you owe to the state on for the benefit that they've granted to you. But I would say that it's a little bit maybe this particular statement on ChristianExodus.org could be made stronger by saying that these positive rights, so-called positive rights that have been invented by philosophers, such as the right to a livable wage, the right to housing, the right to a minimum level of health care, the right to a government school education or a free education. These things are rights, so-called positive rights in the press or in the academic text, when in fact they are just, as you say, privileges granted by the state. But let's look at what the philosophical basis is for this. It's not the idea that God has granted us something and that we hold these things antecedent or outside or beyond the pale of the state. It's that government needs to forcibly redistribute money from one person to another in order to realize the benefits of positive rights in society. That society is an unequal state. It's in an unjust state. And we need justice in the world. And so the idea is to use the positive rights doctrine through legislation to force those who have nothing or who have something to give to those who have nothing. Or we might say the haves have to give to the have-nots. And the government plays somewhat of a Robin Hood role in confiscating and looting people for the benefit of those who don't have as much. And so the idea of positive rights is really the philosophical scheme behind all of these sorts of things that you mentioned at the Christian Exodus statement. Do appreciate you bringing that up, Corey, because it is such an important issue. As Christians, we need to begin to think differently. And just because we've always been raised in a system where there are privileges or handouts or redistributed public policies, proactive public policies, does not mean we have to continue to accept them. Christians are notoriously naive and gullible when it comes to public policy. Public policy theologies are not very well worked out, with the exception, I suppose, of the theonomic position in the Liberty of Conscience School. The most popular position, such as the Divine Right School, is completely wayward in its theology. It has a very inconsistent, as far as I'm concerned, and a not very cogent perspective on the world. Now, we're happy to discuss divine right. For many listeners, I think, hold to the divine right position and be courteous when we do so here on the show. But I can, from my own understanding of the public policy theology, they do very little to incorporate a clear, concise understanding of the whole counsel of God regarding public policy and to deal with the historical facts that one must consider when interpreting the scriptures, such as the fact that Nero is in power and things like the American Revolution. How do we handle these things? Well, I think the Divine Right School has dramatically collapsed on this. Well, at any rate, it's this group of the Divine Righters that believe more than any other Christian group that certain rights, so to speak, to welfare, Social Security, or welfare and Social Security are both one and the same, just different names. Public education and so forth are okay, and that if government grants them and that's the system we live under, it's all right for us to go ahead and continue with them. And so, at any rate, I think divine right has done a great disservice to the Christian church and a community distorting our minds with regard to this important issue that Corey's brought up. So, again, once again, I do appreciate, Corey, you sending that in. Also appreciate you in California and others listening to the recorded broadcasts of Christian Worldview and helping us spread the word about TRN and the recorded broadcast, the live broadcast on the web, and so forth. We'll be back in just a minute with Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And trying to do that today on Christian Worldview. We'd like to also read something from my research staff here, the volunteer effort at the Tyranny Response Network, sent me a book recommendation. Actually, not that they're recommending, just to let people know about this new book by a Dr. Greg Frazier from the Master's College in Santa Clarita, California. He's a professor of history and political studies there. He's also, in my mind from reading this, a divine writer. And since we've been talking about the divine right perspective, this is an important work that should be noted. He says, I first learned of Dr. Frazier on Hugh Hewitt's program as he was discussing his research on the political theology of the American founders. I was immediately drawn to him as, I didn't know there was a political theology. I think it means public policy theology. But at any rate, I was immediately drawn to him as his research came into the same conclusion as my own. And I'm not sure who's actually, I think there this message is being forwarded, so I'm not sure who the I here is that's being referred to. I had over about a two-year period read over 9,000 pages of material, much of it primary sources. As Dr. Frazier demonstrates, the founders were neither deist nor orthodox Christians. He further points out that two warring groups, the secularists who dominate academia and the Christian America camp, each quote selectively in order to advance their biased views. Dr. Frazier has coined the phrase theistic rationalist to describe the common view among men such as George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and others. I highly recommend this book to anyone who desires to have the facts without distortion regarding what principles guided the founding of our nation. If you would like to obtain the book, the easiest way is by phone 800-521-0600, extension 7020. That's again 800-521-0600, extension 7020. Well, that's an interesting comment. It'd be interesting to get a hold of a copy of this book, since it seems like there has been a fair amount of research done into the public policy theology of the founding fathers. It's very clear, and I don't know how many founding fathers they looked at, but it's very clear that there were a lot of folks who were misguided and wrong in theology at the founding of America. The Unitarian movement was huge. The Unitarian movement denies that there is original sin. They also deny the Trinity, obviously. And that group was largely responsible for many of the political activism, much of the political activism, and even the revolution itself that we saw during the 1770s. As I understand it, John Adams aligned himself, even though he believed in a Calvinistic perspective of soteriology, President John Adams aligned himself with the Unitarian Church. So there is some something to be said for the Christians of the day being nominal, certainly not Orthodox Christians, as we would call them, and certainly not deists either. So there may be something to be said for that. But I really have a problem with Dr. Frazier's idea that the majority of Christians in America were this way. There were 600,000 Presbyterians of the 3 million or so, a little less than 3 million Christians in America at the time of the Revolution or the War for Independence. I think I'm getting that wrong. 900,000 Presbyterians, 600,000 Congregationalists,
and there were about 400,000 of either Dutch or German Reformed extraction. In addition to the growing number of Baptists and Methodists and others, Anglicans who were conservative evangelicals, hard for me to believe that most people were either somewhere between, you know, not, you know, deists and Orthodox Christians. They were really just sort of civil Christians. Don't believe that. There were too many good pastors and people who signed the Declaration that were clearly men of faith. John Hancock, Samuel Adams, there are just many others that we don't need to list them all here. So while I think he has a good point, I think there's a problem with stereotyping everybody who made a choice to not to revolt against the king as really not being truly saved. Now, this is something a divine writer would like to do generally, put down those who rebelled as being really less than Christian or acting as non-Christians, just Christians who sinned, as that one preacher had said. Well, here it seems like Fraser is going overboard and trying to make paganize the whole society. As if, you know, people's faith was not very serious. I don't think that's the case. I would have to disagree with that. Would be interested in reading a copy of his book, or at least hearing from some callers or some emails from people who have read it or have looked over some of his research and find out what he has to say exactly. Interesting topic, interesting food for thought here on Christian Worldview. That's what we're all about, folks, trying to help you think better and more clearly as Christians. And be involved with proper responses to public policy, how we ought to respond as Christians to the state, and again, how we ought to view the nature of the state itself. We're so glad you've been able to join us here at Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. I'm glad to be back here behind the microphone after being gone again for almost an entire week. Glad to, and I want to thank again Ben Graydon and others, Roy Magnuson and Pastor Tony Romo for their excellent efforts in filling in while I was away and just doing a tremendous job on the show. Please tell others about TRN this week and look for bigger and better things to come in the future, and we'll see you again on Monday morning.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.